May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. 117.
Thank you. Let us read from the Word of God this evening, friends, in John's Gospel again, John's Gospel chapter 12. Not as one mentioned, we may read those many records of the miracles in Matthew, but reading John chapter 12 to the 37th verse. Then 6 days before the Passover, then Jesus 6 days before the Passover came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odour of the ointment. Then said one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. The next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went before to meet him, and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. The people therefore that was with him when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also met him, for that they heard that he had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the world is gone after him. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. Now is my soul troubled. In what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world. Now the prince of this world to be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. Now sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have light, the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. This one verse on, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. How solemn that was, friends. What about us? May the Lord bless his holy word to us. May he grant us prayer. May he help us in prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we come again before thee, Lord. We seek to come to the throne of grace. Oh, we seek to gain thine ear, O God, our Father in heaven. Oh, we come for this pleading, the precious name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we have sung in that sacred theme of the hymn, oh, how we should have that gratitude to thee, our God, that thou, our Lord, having ascended up on high and led captivity captive, now receives gifts from men, yea, for the rebellious also. O Lord, it is to thee we look, to thee we bear, to thee for help we call. O life, our resurrection, our Jesus, and our all. O Lord, O Lord, we look to thee, O God, our Father. We plead the precious name of Jesus. We have no other hope. O Lord, thou hast given thy dear Son. Thou hast punished thy dear Son in the ruined place instead of thy people. Oh, we are favoured, we hope to know this, but Lord, what each one needs personally is to have the seal of it, it was for me. Oh Lord, may there be such an earnestness in the seeking in many a heart here tonight. Oh, such diligence, Lord, granted by the Holy Spirit's holy influence in us. Oh, we may have prayer, we may have earnest prayer. We may importune the throne of grace. We may plead with thee, Lord, plead with thee for pardon. Oh, who can need it more than we? We need it, Lord. We need the seal of the Spirit of our redemption. Oh, we plead for it, Lord. We plead for it for precious souls here, that there was come tonight and so blessed souls, set sinners at gospel liberty, Lord. This is our heart's desire and prayer for thy people. May there be such an earnestness for it, Lord, in the real felt need of it, an exercise for it, an earnest seeking, Lord, to know and taste redeeming love. Lord, do bless souls here tonight. Thou knowest each one, each case is known to thee. Lord, oh, we do not want to be left to trifles of things, Lord. Oh, here we think of the world and even the religious world that is out of Christ, and there is much of that. Thou knowest we are not the judge, thou knowest all. But oh, how sad it is, solemn it is, out of Christ's almighty power can do nothing but devour. But oh, what we seek, Lord, for precious souls here, is that they may know, be exercised to know, that they are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation. But oh, are we in Christ Jesus? As thou so blessed us, as grace brought us to be in Christ Jesus, Lord, we look to thee, that thou wilt confirm precious souls here tonight. We do not want to be left to trifling things, Lord. We think of all those in the world, trifles are theirs, a kingdom yours. Oh, may it be given in assurance of it, Lord, to dear precious souls here. Feed thy people, Lord, with the finest of the wheat. And if we, as we pray in that way, we know the finest of the wheat is thyself. Oh, it's that thyself, Lord, is made so precious, the one thing needful. Oh, and to know thee, the Paschal Lamb, that one who has not shed his blood in vain. And Lord, we pray we might know this by the favour of the assurance of it and the application of thy holy precious blood to our hearts and consciences. So do come, Lord, and as we do trust, Lord, thou hast given us a heart to praise thee, the Lord. Oh, give us real worship, Lord. Oh, we do want to extol thee, Lord. And as we were considering this morning to lift thee very high, thou mightest be lifted up on the gospel pole. Those wonderful words as stated regarding Moses, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And now, Lord, as we've read tonight, how there it is speaking of thyself, spoke of thyself, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. We know the word is clear, it speaks of, thou didst so speak, signifying what death thou should die. Oh Lord, we beg thee, give us a faith view of thee. Oh, to view thee in the gloomy garden of Gethsemane, to view thee by faith in the judgment hall, to view thee by faith on Calvary's tree, to know, Lord, and be led into thy heart, rend in sorrows, Lord, thy terrible sufferings, to know just a little, as thou dost grant that by faith, what thou didst suffer for us, the wounds that there was with which thou was wounded in the house of thy friends. Lord, thou knoweth all in thy life and walk on earth what thou didst pass through. May we be led into fellowship with thee, Lord, in thy sufferings. Some of the friends have their own personal afflictions. Oh, what a great blessing, favour it will be to them if thou dost so sanctify them and lead them into fellowship with thee in thy sufferings. Oh, we pray for this, Lord, though we know it is high and holy. It may be deep, and Lord, the depths of this experience, Lord, oh, how painful to the flesh, but how blessed to the soul. We beg thee, Lord, so bless thy people. Favour them, Lord. Do them good. Bless them indeed. We beg thee. Thou knowest, Lord, we ask for these things with a single eye to thy glory. For we do trust we can say we well know that our souls are blessed in these profound, wondrous ways of thy grace. Lord, then they yield praise to thee, they render praise. We seek thy honour and glory, Lord, the honour and glory of our triune God. This is what we seek, Lord, in gathering together. There the precious name of Jesus may be so highly acknowledged, Lord, that we may praise thee, our Lord and Saviour. And especially thanking thee and praising thee, O God our Father, that thou in thy perfect love didst give thine own dear Son. Oh, to come to this world, God gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And oh, especially blessedly, Lord, we would thank thee, O dear Holy Spirit. Thanks, Lord, to thee we pray, may we be melted. Oh, to so bless the teaching we have received, we trust some of us, under the Holy Spirit's teaching. The Holy Spirit bearing witness with our spirit, some of us can acknowledge that we are the sons of God, and if sons, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. O Lord, bless others, bring each in. Bless them, Lord, to know their sonship. Sons of God by blessed adoption. Bless souls to know these great favours, to so know and rejoice in thee, our Lord and Saviour. As the Holy Spirit testifies of Christ, oh, do so work tonight, dear Holy Dove Divine, and testify of Christ the Lamb here among us tonight, and to us each. Oh, and do come to seal our pardon with the blood of Christ. Oh, we pray, some of us, as we exercise for it, Lord, it's because we are fresh. We have fresh contracted guilt upon us. Contamination, Lord, our feet need washing. Oh, he that is washed need not only save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, Lord, if thou come and wash us. Oh, Lord, we know Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet. But thou didst say, Lord, if I wash thee not, there is no part with me. So may these thy holy words search us. May they search us and give us a stirring up of exercise, that we may be in earnest, Lord. We may not neglect thy great salvation. Do come then, Lord, and be among us tonight. May we have the blessed witness of thy presence by thy working in souls, thy doing good in thy good pleasure here. We in love commend to thee thy people here, each one of them. The cause of truth, a little church, do cause it to increase, Lord. Bring in precious souls whom thou hast blessed. Oh, make them willing. Oh, may they have the prayer, make me willing, glorious Lamb, to suffer all things for thy name. Oh, made willing in the day of thy power. This is what we look for, Lord, because we trust thou hast given us zeal for thy honour and glory, and we look for it, we pray for it. We pray that souls may be so blessed that they may be able to testify of what thou hast done for them. Constrained by thy love, oh, that power of thy drawing, drawing all men unto thee, all those that are so to know and be blessed to taste redeeming love. Do draw them, Lord, we beg. Jesus draws the chosen race by his sweet resistless grace. Oh, may it be so known as resistless, Lord. Oh, are there any resisting it? Are there any, Lord, that resist it, saying it's not necessary, Lord, or it's to be attended to later on when they don't know what a day may bring forth? Oh, none of us know what a day may bring forth, Lord. We do solemnly acknowledge it. We do beg, Lord, thou wouldst so cause us to be in zeal, real zeal for thy glory. Oh, that has a covetousness in it for the glory of God. Jealous for thy glory, Lord, we would be. May we truly be so. Lord, thou knowest each one's pathway in life. Any that are in trouble and difficulty and affliction, Lord, thou knowest thou hast appointed it, ordered it for thy people, that they shall through much tribulation enter the kingdom. And the adversary, like we were trying to bring before the friends this morning, how he is such a great foe, and how our old nature and our natural wicked heart is such a hindrance to us, such a trouble to us. But Lord, may we be favoured to know that there is that favour granted us at the new birth, that we've been blessed to be possessors of a new heart, a new nature, a new mind. Change thy purpose to change the heart, renew the mind, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. Oh, we trust that's why we're here tonight. That's the very reason that we're here tonight, is because of what thou hast already done. Is it so, Lord? May the friends examine themselves. How is it that they're here tonight? Is it by and through sovereign grace, or is it just because this is how they were brought up? Oh, we know we can have a natural religion, Lord, just according to our upbringing. Oh, we can have a natural religion. Oh, may we consider and know the solemnity of it. If it remains only a natural religion, it will let us down at last. We will be wanting at last. Oh, Lord, may we be saved from that. Saved from a false religion, saved from resting on a bed too short with a covering too narrow, saved from all what Satan would by treachery cause us to be sleeping on enchanted ground. Save us from that, Lord. Stir us up, we may be seeking that which is real, which is true, which is of the work and operation of the Spirit, which is what thou hast wrought in us, done in us. Prove it, bring it out. Oh, may we have that light we've been reading of, that wonderful light, and to walk while we have the light. Lord, how we need thee to so stir us up that we might have love, love and zeal, and exercise for obedience to follow thee and walk while it is light. Oh, for the night cometh, and work while it's light, not for works of righteousness, Lord, but to bear fruits of the Spirit. Oh, show me thy faith by thy works. Lord, do so teach us, make us right, and keep us right, Lord, we beg thee. And pray for all thy people, all our friends up and down across the land, all the little hills of Zion, each of thy servants on the walls of Zion tonight. We know there are some in the eastern lands finished the Lord's day. And we know those in the western, more western areas from us, Lord, they are earlier in the day. But Lord, do bless thy people, feed them also, and lift them up forever. And so come, Lord, and help us here. We would again offer our prayer for our country, Lord. Have mercy on us still. In wrath, remember mercy. Help our Prime Minister, Lord, and our government, Lord. Give them integrity and fortitude and honesty. Oh, there might not be any treachery. Oh, Lord, another longer word we use sometimes. The jigging of things and turning of things. Who knoweth how we are concerned for things to be done according to thy will. We might withdraw from the European Union. Lord, thou knowest, although in other ways may we consider. Lord, there are some things that are better in the European Union. Oh, we notice people doing things in their gardens on the Lord's Day, they do not in one of the countries of Europe. Oh Lord, may we learn. May we learn through the solemn happenings in our country. The dreadful, terrible things that have happened, which are so solemn, Lord. Many ushered into eternity, Lord. Knoweth the dreadful fire in London. Knoweth how we on our journey into London, Lord, into Richmond last Lord's Day evening. Here we turned and gazed and saw that terrible blackened tower. Lord, thou knowest the awful, terrible things. So many ushered into eternity in such hard, terrible way. Lord, they each have a never-dying soul. Oh, may there among those that have survived and those loved ones, Lord, who mourn, oh, we pray for them, comfort them, Lord. But the most wonderful way they could be comforted would be if they were brought to know the seriousness of life and death, and Lord, that they might be made to solemnly consider their standing. Oh, if thou hast any, Lord, that thou wouldst use these things for good. Oh, what can where we tremble to even mention it? But Lord, we know thou canst use very hard, awful things for good. Oh, if it be thy will. Lord, we do pray for all those who've lost loved ones. Do help them, provide for them. Those who lost their homes, provide for them, Lord. Oh, but Lord, may there be among many in our land a solemn considering of the terrible things of the day in which we live. We may be made concerned to be praying to thee, our God, to be prepared for that great day. Oh, Lord, as we have thought of that terrible inferno, but oh, how in thy word there to speak of that place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Lord, we know that souls cast in there will suffer forever. We each have a never-dying soul. Oh, save us from sin and death and hell, Lord. We look to Thee that we may know that Thy great salvation saves. Saves from sin, death and hell. May we be assured of our interest in Thy great salvation, Lord. May it be Thy purpose to come with assurance to some souls here tonight, to seal their pardon, seal them with assurance of faith. Oh, we beg for this, Lord, and Thou shalt have all the praise. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 1099. Jesus, omnipotent to save, exalted Prince of Grace, light, life and love thou dost bestow on men of vilest race. 1099.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friends, I would direct you this evening to some words in the chapter that we read this evening, the 12th chapter in John's Gospel, and the 32nd verse. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Seem sweet those last words, friends, we've sung. Child of God, looking, praying to God for Christ with lifted eyes, looking up to this one who was lifted up upon the cross of Calvary, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And we sing sometimes the Lamb of God for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Can you say that? Can you say that with humble hope of an interest in the Saviour's blood? Oh, do you know your pardon signed and peace with God? Oh, hear the Saviour, the Son of God, Holy Son of God, co-equal, co-eternal Son of God. Of course, there was that voice from God the Father. There is that is in the context which is solemn, yet very blessed and sacred. You know, the time had come, and the dear Son of God, he said, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Oh, how he speaks those words. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there the voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now is the prince of this world cast out, to be cast out. Now the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We were preaching to you this morning, trying to preach to you this morning, regarding the words as related in that way. The children of Israel in the wilderness, they were serpent bitten. There was a reason. They were serpent bitten because they had sinned against God, and they were brought to know it. And went to Moses in that way, saying, we have sinned against God. And Moses prayed, and they wanted him to pray. They prayed him to pray. And he prayed, and the Lord said, make thee a serpent of brass, and put it on a pole. How it was that all those that looked to the serpent of brass lived. We spoke regarding that awful venom in the bite of the serpents. It wasn't the bite, just the bite. It was the venom in the bite. And now it does figure as sin, sin-bitten souls, sin, the cause of all the woe the world has ever known. But many in the world are not ever brought to be concerned about their sin. God's people are brought to solemnly know they've got the dark contagion of sin in them. This is the poison that will bring eternal damnation to everyone if they are not saved by grace. And oh, wonderfully then, as we had the text in the earlier chapter 3 of this book, of this Gospel of John. And oh, how, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God's servants, friends, I have a close friendship with a good number of our dear ministers. You know, God's servants feel, we all feel we fail in lifting up a precious Christ. Oh, we would lift him higher and higher. We would point sinners to him, but God must do it. God, the Holy Spirit, to so draw sinners, point sinners to Christ. But here we have this evening these words to consider, Christ's words himself. He says, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And of course, he was soon to go to Calvary and was lifted up by those cruel Roman soldiers, crucified. Sometimes we say crucified and slain. That is not actually correct, is it? He said, "I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again." They didn't actually slay him, friends. They crucified him. The Roman soldiers crucified him. But if we consider it rightly, if we are seeking to know our interest in the sacrifice of Christ, it will be this, friends. The Holy Spirit will show you that you crucified him. Sinner, thou hast done the deed. Thou hast made the Saviour bleed. Oh, how, but in this way, so wonderfully God blesses souls. It's a very solemn part of experience to be brought and by the Spirit shown that your Lord suffered for you and that you did the deed of the crucifying of Christ, your sins. It's thy sins that stung him, thy sins that wounded him. If we're blessed to know it, we're blessed also with that which comes to us from him, through him. Redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." All men, all those God's so set his love upon and his teaching and bringing into the ways and favours of the wonders of redeeming love. "I will draw all men unto me, so that they come to me, so that they come to the foot of the cross." And like we sung in that last verse, the last line of the hymn, our heart, our soul lifted up, looking up to Christ who is lift up on the cross of Calvary, lift up on the gospel pole, lift up as the serpent was in the wilderness. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And we have it in the context here again, the word must. "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This, he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth ever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must..." Notice the people had got it. "Who sayest thou that the Son of Man must be lifted up?" Oh, what a question it was, friends. "Who sayest thou then that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." Is that an exhortation to some of you tonight? Walk while ye have the light. Oh, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Oh, may the Holy Spirit give you to consider that. And me, very closely, very solemnly, very much, in a way. For the Lord Jesus Christ calls his people, draws his people to follow him. Oh, to so show forth his praise. Walk while you have the light. And there are the warnings there, friends. There's the warning there. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and denied himself from them. Oh, friends, he might hide himself from thee. Oh, may he not. May he not from me. We are only really in happiness when we have his presence. In his presence I'm happy. In his presence I'm secure. But you know, we have changes. We have many changes, and we're not always in his presence. And we can lose his presence by our sinning, by our sins of commission and by our sins of omission. We can lose his presence. Do you really prize the presence of the Lord, your Saviour? Do you prize it? Is it very blessed, very important to you? In his presence I'm happy. Does that have a ring in it for you? Is it true? Is it so felt like that, as you have the faculties of grace, the feeling, that feeling God gives you of the preciousness of Christ, the love of Christ, and the faculties of grace to feel and know it's your Lord and your God, it's your Saviour, it's your dear Redeemer, he's so precious to you. Walk while you have the light. These words, I believe, friends, in a similar way, and yet in a different way, they are, as we were considering this morning, but here it is, of course, specifically, that the Lord was coming nearer and nearer to the time when he would sacrifice himself and bear the curse for the church of God, suffer the punishment the whole church of God must suffer if left outside of this, but the church of God not to be left outside of it by God's decree, his holy will. It was appointed that Christ should redeem the church, and he was getting much, much now nearer to it. And so, and he says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. You know, as I've maybe mentioned it before, it is solemnly true that the hill Golgotha, outside the city wall of Jerusalem, that was named as the place of a skull, was a very solemn place of crucifixion, where many were crucified. And you know, it was such that God Jehovah had agreed, and covenant transactions made before the world, that Christ for the church should bleed and die, bear the punishment instead of the church that was due to the church, would be due to the church for all eternity. And he taken out there, like many disobedient servants were, and he crucified there on that rugged tree, that wood, that cross of Calvary. Oh, friends, how our Lord submitted. Oh, bled and died, laid down his life, suffered even the death of the cross. How it's put, even the death of the cross. Oh, it was such ignominy, such shame he suffered. Oh, because of many awful, abominable transactions, guilt, sinning against God, sins, so many, so great, some, what mighty sum it was that needed to be paid for our ransom, for our redemption, and he paid it by shedding his holy blood upon Calvary's tree. We know, as we mentioned earlier, he had shed it at Gethsemane and in the judgment hall on the place of the payment, and we know then the cross. And after he laid down his life, as the soldier pierced his side for the reason that there must be the proving that they were dead so that their bodies might be taken away. And oh, friends, but more for the proving of this, they shall look on him whom they pierced and mourned for him as one mourneth for his only son, and is in bitterness for his firstborn, if I be lifted up. But now tonight particularly I want to lead more into this. If the Son, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, he draws, friends. It's the drawing of his love. It's his love that draws. Oh, and God's people, their exercise, their concern that God gives them by the Spirit is to know the love of Christ, to know his love. In this way, first, it will be given in concern to God's people. Does God love me? Oh, there is a people loved of God. Love with an everlasting love. I think of my earlier days. Heard my dear godly mother testify a few times before I was called by grace. I heard her say how she was so blessed and sealed by God with the words, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." I used to think of it when I was in unregeneracy. What does this mean? I used to think, well, my mother seems to have this favour. What does it mean? And then we would drop off into a state of not being interested until she perhaps mentioned it again. And then we may think of it, what is this? God saying to my mother, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, yet therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." But you see, friends, when God began to deal with me, when he showed me my horrible sins, when he convicted me and convinced me my sin, and I knew I deserved to be punished for my sin forever, then I wanted to know, does God love me? Is there any hope for me? Is there any hope for me, being such a vile sinner? The first ray of hope came when godly deacon gave out the hymn, "Where it comes in, and a vilest sinner, head of hell, lives to feel his need, is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead." But my question so much was, well, if God loves me, then I will have hope that the Lord has come for me and suffered for me. But I wanted to know the love of God, friends, the love of Christ. I wanted to know that the Lord loves me. Are there those here tonight of you? You want to know and be confirmed in this, that God loves you. For we know he set his love upon a number which no man can number. God's word tells us that clearly. In eternity, before the world was made, God Jehovah, in those covenant transactions, set his love upon a number which no man can number. But we know also that the masses of humanity are so great that comparatively they are small in number compared to the masses of humanity. Oh, friends, the Lord leads his people into a solemn consideration, solemn exercise. They feel their need in this way to pray, want to know, want to be assured that the Lord has a purpose of love and mercy to them. Have you? Some of you younger friends or older ones too, it can be. Or we can be a long life's journey before God begins with us. The Lord knows each case here, if there are, and I believe there are real cases here. Oh, it's your concern to know the love of God, the love of Christ. Oh, that he set his love upon you before the foundation of the world, and so that in the counsels of Jehovah, as there was this great need, perfectly known by God Jehovah, that the church must be redeemed by blood redeemed, and that Christ, the Son of God, must come. The agreement in the counsels of Jehovah that Christ, for a man, should suffer, bleed and die. Was ever love like this? God's purposes of love and mercy, even before the world, and now in time revealed to those who are to be made manifest as Jehovah's choice, that they are in the secret. Oh, and how will they know it? How will they experience it? By the power of the love of God being so applied to them, them affected by it. Christ drawing them to himself, drawing them as he's lifted up, in the ministry like we had in the text this morning. As he's lifted up, as he was lifted up by the Roman soldiers and crucified on Calvary's tree. But oh, the Spirit working to draw sinners to him. Oh, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. All men. The word men here, like it is in several places, it is a word put in by the translators. We believe they were gracious and exercised a right, and for our language it's needed. But we'll draw all unto me. All. Not all the world, not all humanity. It can't mean that. Because it's clear in the word of God that the wicked shall be turned into hell with all the nations that forget God. It can't mean all humanity. There's no such thing as universal salvation. It means, I believe this, all that are precious to God through covenant love, covenant transaction. All that God has loved before the world, it will draw them. You draw them unto him. You can test your religion. You can test what you know, what you've experienced. Have you been, are you being drawn to Christ? Is the power of God effectively working in thee and upon thee to draw thee to Christ? Oh, God's purpose is to draw sinners to Christ. And it is the Father that will draw. The Son of God will draw, especially as the Son of God is lifted up. May we understand this and know this. Nay, if I be lifted up, it was the will of the Father that Christ, that those Roman soldiers should take Christ and crucify him and lift him up. How profoundly solemn, and yet how profoundly wondrous. Oh, in the way that dear Watts wrote that sacred short hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Oh, yeah, we are affected, friends, seeing by faith Christ lifted up upon the cross and suffering there in our room, place and stead. And oh, the wonderful holy feeling, the sacred feeling, the power as he draws all men, all characters, all those loved of God, all those that need salvation, all those that must know and taste redeeming love. I will draw all men. This term men, and the way it's put, it's those important to God because of the covenant of grace, that God must save them. We have the words as we have here, and in the earlier chapter where we were this morning, the Son of Man must be lifted up. And the Son of Man was lifted up according to the will of God on the cross of Calvary. And he suffered, bled and died there on the cross. Laid down his life. He finished the work his Father gave him to do. Brought in everlasting salvation, full and complete redemption, his holy blood that ran from hands and feet and side. Oh, he poured out his holy blood in that way, shed his vital blood for the atonement of the sins of the whole church of God. Oh, is the Lord drawing you, favouring you to feel and know the power of his love? Oh, his love was such that he laid down his life to redeem you from hell, to blot out your sins, to put away all your transgressions, to make you clean, oh, to so make you fit for heaven, to be accepted by God the Father. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. Friends, it must be in this sacred reality, all men, all important to God to save. Because God has decreed they must be with God forever in glory. They are loved with an everlasting love, the words that were such a blessing seal to my godly mother. And many have had those words. I preached from those words a few times. Once, preaching up at Adock, a dear soul was blessed there. Oh, how favoured she was when that word that she received earlier in her life was confirmed to her. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. I mentioned, friends, in preaching this morning, how I read the long chapter in Matthew's Gospel where there are so many, repeatedly it's the record of many of the many miracles Christ performed. We have a solemn word that we read. I said it was as an added verse upon my reading. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. There were so many, but not these that are important to God were left to them. These that were important to God, each one God has set his covenant love upon, they're so important to him, they must and shall believe. They must and shall be brought in. They must and shall they shall receive all what they need as they're drawn to him, drawn to Christ, drawn by his love. Oh, the love of Christ constraineth us, draws us, and binds together the church so that they are in union. Oh, wonderful drawing power of Christ lift up on the cross. He's suffering, see him suffering, bleeding, dying. Hear him crying. Oh, now you're affected. Such power is so affected by the Spirit of God that God's people are blessed. They see him there, their Lord, their crucified Lord, their suffering Lord, suffering in their room, place, and stead. Oh, they're blessed to be drawn to him, to believe in him. Oh, to know he's my Lord. This is he, my dear Lord. suffering in my place, a face view of Christ suffering in your room, place, instead of on the cross of Calvary, pouring out his holy heart's blood, suffering the wrath of God, suffering in body, mind and soul. Your Lord there suffering for you. Oh, does it really? Does it affect you? Does it so humble you, melt your heart? Oh, how you feel the wonder of it. The wonders of redeeming love. The love of Christ to me. You know, if you know it, you will have to go on as the word here. The Lord was speaking here, recorded by John. Oh, how wonderful is the narrative, the word here, how it goes on. Then Jesus, how he said, the people answered him. It's recorded, the people answered him. We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth ever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? This is how people who didn't know inquired. How solemn that was. People who didn't know inquired that. But God's people are taught to know Jesus. Oh, they are taught to know it and acknowledge it. One of the hymn writers acknowledges it like this, to know. My Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. When everything is put into place of perspective and values are known, and it's a cry that will go out of your soul if you know these values by teaching of the Spirit. Give me Christ or else I die. Hey, to become your best beloved, your Lord, your life, your all. And so you will be drawn and feel the power of his love and love him in return. You know, it's so, and John had this very clear, didn't he? We know you might say, well, he leaned on the Lord's breast at supper. Yes, he was a highly favoured disciple. And he gives utterance to it in testimony of it. And he says we love him because he first loved us. Oh, herein is love, not that we love God, that he first loved us and gave his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That means putting them all away, blotting them all out, removing them from every child of God, that they may be favoured to be clean. Yeah, clean through the word. Clean and clothed in the righteousness of Christ. And so, you see, friends, oh, what we must put as a question. Oh, has he been lifted up in your view, the eye of faith God's granted you? You to view him, to see him, to believe in him. And the proof of it is drawing you unto himself. Oh, how he draws, and how he draws you to himself, draws you to the foot of the cross. Oh, seem very sweet, a sweet confirming, friends. There we sung that last line of the hymn. Oh, lifting up of the eyes to Christ, to see him on the cross, to see him and by faith believing in him, receiving from him all what he has brought in by his sacrifice, all what he has done and accomplished. We know in keeping the whole law of God, bringing in everlasting righteousness for the church, shedding his holy blood for the redemption of the church, and then laid in the grave there 3 days. But as in the psalm it says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, nor neither suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Meaning the grave, the Sheol, the grave, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He rose triumphant o'er the grave. He is in heaven, highly exalted, near the right hand of the Father. He's lifted up there. He's taken up. He's highly exalted. He's at God's right hand, sitting on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat. Do you truly, verily believe in your living Lord in heaven? Your Lord, as we have had in the theme of the hymn too, your living Lord in heaven. Oh, how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. That's how he's lifted up. That is how he's highly exalted and given a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. You have to bow. You have to fall at the footstool of mercy at the throne of grace, looking up to him who sits there on the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, overshadowed by the cherubims above him. Oh, now at God's right hand, he is in such an office to plead for his people on earth, to plead before God his Father, so that there in the court of heaven, the whole church of God is accepted in him, accepted, made accepted in the Beloved. But friends, tonight, before we separate, I do want to put it before you carefully, solemnly, but it may be a blessing and favour. He draws us, friends, draws us to himself, draws us unto him, to follow him, to live to his praise. Many of us will have to acknowledge how short we come in following our Lord. Are we grieved over it? Do we feel grief because of our shortcomings? And I mean, as we are still sinners and still commit sins against his name and blood, sins against the righteous God, sins immense. This is the sea we need again. We need fresh application of the blood of atonement. We need to be pleading his blood, pleading what he's done. He draws us to him for this. He's ready to hear and answer and attend to our pleading, to bless us, to know we're forgiven, we're pardoned, to grant the application of it again, to seal us with pardon, to seal forgiveness upon us and in us, that we are saved by grace. You know, thinking of the great favour of being saved by grace, saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. And it's what each poor sinner taught of God needs. And Christ is so precious. He's there all and in all. And oh, if he's so precious, as he said, friends, as he spoke here, as we've read it once, he says, walk. While ye have the light, believe in the light. Then Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. And it was only a short time, wasn't it, before. We don't know exactly the days, but we can understand it in the way he was going toward Jerusalem. He was going there to suffer. We know where we spoke in John 14. And we know he was trying, as he did so perfectly, in his purpose, speak to allay their fears and to comfort them. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you, promising his coming to them again. And he will come again and receive them unto himself, that where I am, there shall ye be also. And so in all these things. But here he says, walk while ye have the light, lest darkness, it's a warning, friends, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Friends, here we should dread this darkness that will come upon us. The Lord, the Son of God, the Saviour says, he says, walk while ye have light. The light, while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. What is greatest importance to us is to know where we're going. Sometimes a godly friend, deacon in Manchester, says to me, and I can only say, friends, it must be by grace, he says it. There's no hope for me outside of grace or for him. But he says, you know where you are going, and I know where I am going. And we can only say that by grace, friends. And we do not want to say it with presumption. We need assurance that God gives, the assurance of faith to be able to say it. But you see, here it is a warning. It says, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Well, ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. Oh, you do need, and I do need, to heed the commands of our Saviour, the exhortations and the commands. They're all in love and faithfulness. The Lord says, walk while ye have the light. There's darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. What a solemn thing if we are left to not know whither we go. Not know regarding our eternal state. Not know regarding where shall I spend eternity. If that is really the greatest, most important concern of your life and mine, we do want to be in obedience as God commands, the Son of God, our Saviour, commands us. There are these things for deep and solemn consideration here in this context, friends. Oh, we do hope we can say he has been lifted up before us and granted us that favour in the eye of faith to behold him, and that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Oh, may he ever be lifted up before us. May we ever be exercised to be looking unto him, to live our lives looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We're witnesses of the great cloud of witnesses, added to more and more year by year. Oh, how we should be looking on, following him, heeding his commands, living unto him, living to the praise of our Lord and Saviour, on the Saviour's fullness living, denying self. May the Lord help each of us so to do by his enabling grace. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amount to £675, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. John Rosier is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Pack next Lord's Day, who also hopes to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 138. Jesus, I love thy charming name, 'tis music in my ear. Fain would I sound it out so loud that earth and heaven might hear. 138.
Dear Lord, do forgive anything they have seen amiss this day. Lord, thou knowest one is poor, and oh, we tremble and troubled over what we've said, but Lord, bless thy word, bless thy people. Thou knowest, Lord, oh, we do want to live to thy praise. We trust thou hast put it into our hearts for this. So help us to deny ourselves daily and take up our cross. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.